WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. 12 people have been injured after yesterday's attack in Boulder, Colorado, which involved Molotov cocktails and a makeshift flamethrower. Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruhl says of suspect Mohammed Soliman, an Egyptian man who's in this country illegally.
When he was interviewed about the attack, he said he wanted them all to die. He had no regrets, and he would go back and do it again.
The injured had been taking part in a walk in support of the Israeli hostages being held in Gaza. Soliman, according to authorities, said that he wanted to kill all Zionist people. CBS's Jason Allen.
He was in a jumpsuit. He had his head and the side of his face bandaged. And this was basically just to hear about those 40-plus felony charges that he is facing after what happened here. He is also facing a federal hate crime charge.
Ahead of negotiations between Russia and Ukraine in Turkey, Ukraine launched what's believed to be the largest drone attack yet, destroying dozens of Russian bombers, according to Ukrainian officials. Benjamin Jensen with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
These attacks are actually timed along with the negotiations.
And today's negotiations ended after just 90 minutes. Some fire departments are on heightened alert as parts of California enter wildfire season. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
Grasses that sprang up during the rainy season are now bone dry. That's one of the reasons there were two brush fires in Oakland and in San Jose over the weekend, the latter burning dangerously close to a homeless encampment where Frankie lives.
And it was a small fire, but because the wind was so strong, it quickly spread all the way from one side of the road all the way to Taylor Street.
Fortunately, no injuries were reported. Monday is the official start of wildfire season for some Bay Area fire departments. Residents are asked to help out by creating defensible space around their properties and always be careful with fire. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Jose, California.
After staffing cuts, the National Weather Service is posting more than 100 positions to fill critical vacancies. CBS's Tracy Wolf.
The department is looking to hire meteorologists, hydrologists, physical scientists, and electronic technicians. The department had been under a hiring freeze, but was granted an exemption for these new positions to address staffing levels that were impacting its mission to provide accurate forecasts and warnings.
One of President Trump's first actions upon returning to office was granting pardons and commutations to some 1,500 people involved in the deadly 2021 Capitol attack. One of them, Pamela Hemphill, has now rejected the offer of clemency. CBS's Scott McFarlane reporting.
She says, I just wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I wouldn't be right with God if I accepted a pardon for something we all clearly did.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Reds open a three-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Yesterday, the Brewers with a 5-2 win over the Phillies to complete their first sweep in Philadelphia in 10 years. This despite a shaky start from lefty Jose Quintana, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana didn't have his best outing, walking three guys early. I think they all scored, or two of them scored, and then gets hit in the knee, but then responds and gives us two good innings. Our bullpen was challenged him in the zone. This is a really good team. You know, best record in the National League.
Pitcher Tyler Alexander designated for assignment. NFL, Packers resuming OTA practices this week in Green Bay. In golf, 25-year-old Maja Stark of Sweden finished 7-under par to win the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
It's so cool just looking at all the names on this trophy. And I mean, I love the U.S. Opens, and I'm so happy that it's mine now.
That's Maja Stark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing, temperatures dropping into the 60s and then staying there for tomorrow with cloudy skies and more areas of rain. Mostly sunny for Wednesday and Thursday. Warmer again with highs in the upper 70s. Currently it's 85.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we're joined by dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser as we start the annual show of appreciation who make June Dairy Month possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, penny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at cause-cart.shop.com. and search Native Roots to find your resist gear.
Wow, one in a row. Good one,
Wendy.
One
in a row. I have it written down word for word, and dot, instead of putting a dot, I actually wrote the word D-O-T.
Yes, the tricks to the trade here. I don't know if you want to let everybody know that, but hey, it's a trick. Hey, we have our relatives up north going through fire. It's smoggy down here. I don't think that's the word anymore, smog, but it's smoky. And it's gonna be really hot today, and our prayers go to Canada and northern Minnesota with all these fires, Wendy.
Yeah, it's really scary that this keeps happening. I don't ever remember. I mean, I've been here for 25 years now, and I think last year, was that the first year or the year before?
Oh,
maybe. But I, you know, this is crazy. And all the wildfires in California and in Canada, I don't really remember that happening like 10 years ago. Like, no. I don't remember any reports of that. I don't remember the sky being smoggy. Like, all day yesterday, my app on my phone, my weather app, it said, like, you know, 80 and sunny. And I looked outside and I'm like, it's not sunny.
Right.
You know, and
yeah,
it's really scary. Was it last year?
I think it was 2 years ago that we had all those Canadian fires, and you were in New York.
I was in New York, and it was crazy because I had
the whole city was orange.
It was orange, yeah.
And then Long Beach, where you stay, and I stay sometimes.
Oh, wow! I took. Well, right now it says it's St. Paul is 85 and windy, but let me go down. Okay, so the air quality today is 59, which is moderate. It says the air quality index is 59, which is similar to yesterday about the same time. But there is still an air quality alert. These conditions started at 11:55 a.m. on Monday, June 2nd. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they'll get them contained, and all the people who were evacuated. Yeah, it's what a scary thing. I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine it. So prayers, like you said.
Yeah. Well, in today's anniversary, and it's really interesting, a lot of our allies out there don't know this, Wendy. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to us kind of bring this up. But on June 2nd, 1924, which is 101 years ago, the Indian Citizens Act, also known as the Snyder Act, was passed, granting citizens to all American Indians born within the territorial limits of the United States. And I just got to say this too, the law is granting you as citizens, Native people, but did not guarantee citizens' right to vote. And even today, that's under attack. And I just want to say that real quick.
So it's just amazing that the Native American people were here to begin with, and then they had to be granted citizenship. That to me is just, it's just crazy, but that's how our world works these days, you know.
And I always like to bring this up too, we can get a little deeper on that, but I always like to bring this up too. So I'm 64, mm-hmm. and as a junior in high school in 1978, the Native Religious Act was presented, and that's not that long ago to somebody like me. Mm-hmm. And that we didn't have to sneak around and practice our own religion.
Yeah. It's crazy. It really is.
So yeah, it's amazing, mm-hmm. That things like boarding schools and these things that were really against Native American people, indigenous people in the Turtle Island, mm-hmm. it was not that long ago.
Yeah,
it is. So it's easy for people to say, oh, get over it. It's, you know, it's not my people. It's not, you know, get over it. But there's so much, you know, trauma that's set in with the Native Americans. And I know my family in particular went through a lot of trauma and still has generational trauma in a lot of these, from a lot of these things that mm-hmm. have happened to us. And
yeah,
it's confusing, you know.
It is confusing.
We have a guest that comes on and we talk about, we were both in school at a time and at the same time. And it was just like, you know, you were either Mexican, Italian, or someone else, but you weren't Native American. And mm-hmm. then all these, I'm still finding friends I went to high school with going, oh, you were Native American, or are you Native American?
You know, well, we like always... you, yeah, like you always say, you know, it was a little bit embarrassing to say yeah. that you were Native American. It wasn't a proud thing. So right. now, you know, it's about time. Take your identity and be proud of it. And, you know.
There's so many things, too, in the interim, too, that being Native American that I'm proud of, and I know you've seen that in our short time being on the air, but I mean, we started the show, Wendy, with Standing Rock and having thousands and thousands, you know, tens of thousands of people at Standing Rock mm-hmm. during that protest. It was the second largest city in North Dakota, and I'm proud of that. That was just an amazing thing. We went there three or four times and just brought firewood, money, and the people that were really resisting and fighting needed our support, and mm-hmm. it was amazing. Last time we went was Thanksgiving week, and again, really proud of that. A lot of people like Clyde Belcourt, Dennis Banks that were in that big push of American Indian movement in the 60s and 70s were still there. Mm-hmm. You know, Madonna Thunderhawk, who we love so much, was there and has been at all these protests to make us proud of our heritage and our people and to move forward. And so we have a big legacy and a lot of great things have happened. And we talk about that in the Franklin Corridor and the Twin Cities, but all around Turtle Island. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember like when we were in Standing Rock, yeah. they were saying that there were so many different tribes there yes. at the same time. And in past history, those tribes didn't necessarily right. get along with each other. But Standing Rock really brought them together in solidarity for the cause of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
That's a really good point. And the other point, too, is that it was also advertised or promoted that this is the biggest gathering of nations across Turtle Island since the Battle of Greasy Hill, which a lot of people think of as Custer's last stand. Mm-hmm. But that's a really good point, Wendy.
Yeah.
We saw that with our own
eyes. Yeah, we saw it with our own eyes. Yep, definitely. So, you know, there's a lot to say about it. And, you know, I just want to say, I have something here that sure. says what was the Indian Citizen Act of 1924. So it says what it did and what it didn't do. And you already mentioned this. So it gave birthright citizenship to Native Americans, similar to the 14th Amendment rights of others. Huh. It did not require Native Americans to give up tribal identity or sovereignty.
Yeah, that's good.
Overrode earlier laws that excluded many Native Americans from U.S. citizenship. What it didn't do, it did not automatically give Native Americans full civil rights, such as the right to vote. You were talking about that, right? Mm-hmm. Many states continued to deny voting rights to Native Americans through state laws and discriminatory practices until as late as the 1950s and 60s.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
It really is. Yeah. I just can't even imagine that when I was born in 1960, there were people who were born here in the United States that did not have the right to vote. That is just, that's crazy. And, you know, what's going on now in this current administration, you know, it's pretty scary to me.
That's why it's like us as Native Americans and our allies, we're the experts on resisting. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about that here on Native Roots Radio. And Wendy, you're going to come back on the fourth segment, and we're going to have Dr. Stately. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
My name's Mikaela. When I got back from Iraq, I became pregnant and ended up homeless. Counselors helped us apply for VA supportive housing.
VA offers programs to help eligible veterans stay healthy, find a job, and secure or maintain safe, stable housing.
My life works now. I got help from VA, and now I'm on a mission to share these resources.
If you or a veteran you know is homeless or at immediate risk of becoming homeless, call 877-424-3838.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Robert Pilot, and we're with our friend Dr. Stately. Dr. Stately, welcome to Native Roots Radio. Can you hear me, Dr. Stately?
I can. Can you?
Hello?
I said, how about now?
Yeah, Dr. Stately, you're barely coming in.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think people are playing video games.
come back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, hey, you know, this is a Monday, and I guess things get a little hectic here on Monday. The Native Roots Radio, I was going to talk to Dr. Stately about a few things. I'm going to just say a real quick thing that I'm going to go see Deb Holland, and she's in town today, and she's running for a big-time office, and she's been on the show many times, and there's a fundraiser here in Minneapolis, and, you know, Deb Holland's going to be running for, well, here's Dr. Stately again. Hey, welcome, Dr. Stately. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound really good. Hey, welcome. How are you doing? It's a Monday and things are all a little messed up with all this smoke coming through here. And,
Lord, my eyes are burning and yeah, so I was outside a little bit for today.
So what's happening with
what's
you?
Up with these Canadian wildfires? Why can't they control those things up there? I'm just kidding.
Well, well, we know some of our relatives up there are getting stranded.
Yep, it is very and of course, you know, like the whole relationship we have with Canada, thanks to you know who, has probably damaged our ability to actually do things like support one another in these kind of times, right? Like, so sending support up there and vice versa, just like it's problematic. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're very busy. Your sons are graduating. Summer's coming around the corner. It's exciting things.
Yeah, I took them in today and like we dropped off their iPads, checked to make sure all the work was done. We handed in some assignments that I helped them do over the weekend to kind of just get them across the finish line. I was really, really, really having a very difficult time late into the evening last night trying to figure out like how to do like the phenotypes and the genotypes of you know, this exercise that I was trying to help my son with in biology. And I got stunted on the Punnett squares. I couldn't remember how to do it. I was like, let's just give all your alien children square heads.
Yeah. Wow, exactly.
It was crazy. I was like, oh my God.
Well,
I should know this information because I have a PhD, but I did actually study it 25 years ago. So I don't remember it.
Right. Well, I have a good memory, but it's short. Sounds like your dog's having a good time in the background there, too.
He's like chewing on something. I tried to take it away from me. Bark growls at me.
It was funny, too, when we always for years we'd have our sacred animal portion of the show, and our cat would always come in and start yelling right at that point. And we missed that.
Oh, yeah. They're like, does your cat talk? My cat talks.
He did.
She
did, definitely.
Mine thinks he's a dog, I think. My cat thinks he's a dog. he sleeps on my head. He grabs my face and pulls it some way if I'm not paying attention to him with his paw. You know, yeah. It's so, great. Yeah, I'm sure hoping that I was trying to post over the weekend and I was not doing a very good job of navigating the Facebook and I'm not on Instagram, but on Facebook and LinkedIn world, but a few other things. But I was trying to post information from the Minnesota, the MPCA about the poor air quality.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, if anybody was out yesterday, but it was pretty bad. I took my dogs for a walk around 7 o'clock or so, maybe, and it was pretty tight breathing for me then. I have COVID lungs, so that was probably a challenge for me. But later in the evening, around 11 o'clock, I took them out for their last walk, and it was really windy, and so the air was quite clean yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Late last night, it was quite an easier walk. So I would recommend people do that, like, for sure. Like, you just try to be like, you know, don't be out when all the cars are out, like coming home at 5 o'clock. That doesn't help either. So
That's true. I walked a couple days early in the morning, and I could feel it on the way back from my walk on the way home up the hill. You could really, really feel it. And I know for me, being an old smoker and all these things that really contribute to not good with this air. And I don't remember ever until the last 3 years that we've had this issue. And it's got to be, you know, like global warming and all those things with these fires, Dr. Stately.
Well, I think that's probably a big explanation for it. I think one of the things that like is really important to recognize is that like just in the last year or two, we've had more seasonal drought than we've had in like my lifetime that I can remember, for sure, right? So we have, I think it was weeks since before it rained here in Minneapolis or in this region.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't start raining until like the first couple weeks of May.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a ton of rain. But that, and then we hardly had any snow this winter. So that lack of moisture just dries everything out and it turns it into kindling it really just takes like, you know, practically nothing to start a forest fire these days.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I saw somebody throw their cigarette butt out the window this morning.
Wow.
On my drive, and I thought, you know, well, I won't tell you what I thought. At least I didn't road rage and chase him down. There was a time in my life when I might have done that, but I was like, God, like it's unbelievable that people still think they can do that.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. I remember people emptying their ashtrays in the middle, you know, at a stop sign. Not that I ever did that, Dr. Stately. Oh, wow.
No, yeah. Well, we know this to be true because your ashes were full.
Yeah.
As reported by your wife.
Yeah. You have a good memory. Took a sharp turn and she got a couple cigarette buds on her knee. And not to mention some ashes. You got a good memory.
People always thought it was Ash Wednesday with her.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to... That was a good, some cheering on for that joke. That
oh,
was
wow.
Good.
Look at that. You got a little cheering section over there.
Yeah. I wanted to do this, you know, the old drum, yeah. But I'm too slow on that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I want to take a quick break here and I want to talk a little bit about where Native American Community Clinic is right now and how far we got to go before we open the doors, and talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Oh gosh, well we just literally ripped up the parking lot out this week.
That's awesome. Well, that'll be an update that we can talk a little bit about. But it's great to have you on, and it's I know you have to get going sooner than later, but I really appreciate you having you on, and so do the people. So we're here with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic President and CEO, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Ah!
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Federal hate crime and multiple state charges have been filed against the suspect in yesterday's fiery attack on a group in Boulder, Colorado, showing support for Israeli hostages in Gaza. CBS's Anna Schechter.
What they lay out is a very cold-blooded, calculated series of plans that he carried out to a T until the end.
CBS's Elizabeth Palmer says of peace talks between Russia and Ukraine in Istanbul that came after sophisticated drone attacks by Ukraine on Russia.
No substantive negotiations took place today on the real heart of the matter. That is how to stop the fighting and establish a truce that would then lead to an end to the war.
With haze wafting through the U.S. from Canadian wildfires, meteorologist Craig Allen says some relief could be on the way.
Some of these fires are only 10 to 20% contained. However, there is some rainfall in the forecast across the central provinces of Canada.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Reds open a three-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Yesterday, the Brewers with a 5-2 win over the Phillies to complete their first sweep in Philadelphia in 10 years. This despite a shaky start from lefty Jose Quintana, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana didn't have his best outing, walking three guys early. I think they all scored, or two of them scored, and then gets hit in the knee, but then responds and gives us two good innings. Our bullpen was challenged him in the zone. This is a really good team. You know, best record in the National League.
Pitcher Tyler Alexander designated for assignment. NFL, Packers resuming OTA practices this week in Green Bay. In golf, 25-year-old Maya Stark of Sweden finished 7 under par to win the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
It's so cool just looking at all the names on this trophy. And I mean, I love the U.S. Opens, and I'm so happy that it's mine now.
That's Maya Stark with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world, because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock.
Mmm, hotcakes.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing, temperatures dropping into the 60s and then staying there for tomorrow with cloudy skies and more areas of rain. Mostly sunny for Wednesday and Thursday. Warmer again with highs in the upper 70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, we are here with our friend, Dr. Stately, CEO and President of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Always good to see you. And Santina says, we love Dr. Stately. We sure do. And it's always fun having you on. And it's really our pleasure here. And geez, I'd like to try and figure out how many years you've been on now.
Five. Quite a-
Yeah, you said that. I'm five, not very five enthusiastic. Five.
Yeah. Or no, I'm probably four because I think, wait, like, yeah, no, it'd be like four and some change.
Five.
We met after I had COVID in 2020, December of 2020.
Yeah.
And we were on that little panel together. And then you asked me to, you know, become your latest victim. And I agreed without knowing what I was signing up for.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Wow. I think I begged you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, this is close to being one of my longest relationships, actually.
Yeah. Well, and it's been volatile, you know, in many ways.
It has.
But, you know, I can't put one over on you because you've mentioned two things here that, my gosh, you have a good memory, especially about me picking up Wendy at the airport when I first met her with cigarettes in the ashtray. Jeez, that was a good one. And then how many years we've been talking here on Native Roots Radio. Yeah, but a lot of changes. And one of the changes is Native American Community Clinic is really going to be expanding here and really exciting. And it's a pillar in our corridor here, but also in our state of Minnesota. I know you get a lot of, it's called Juice. I think you get a lot of Juice. People know who you are all over the state.
Yeah. Juice. And is it Riz too? Like Riz? No, yeah. Riz is like what you wear, I think. Yeah.
I'm not talking, it's not even Gen Z anymore. It's the generation before that.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what that's called. Yeah, millennials, no, or something. I don't know anyway.
Yeah.
I'm too damn old to keep track of all that stuff. When my son's talking to me like that, I'm all like, can you just tell me, like, in plain language what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know, and then they chop me up a little bit in the car, especially if I'm driving around. But yeah, no, NAC broke ground last week. We put up our fence on Wednesday, the 28th of May, around our parking lot. And actually, what I was just telling somebody, I was actually shocked at like how rapidly this is going, because I was like, I don't know, maybe it speaks more to like how long it takes me to do things, projects around my house. Like, oh, I'd put up the fence on Wednesday, and like 3 weeks later, I'd get around to like, you know, actually getting the shovel out or something.
Oh my God.
Good thing I'm actually not doing the project. But yeah, like within a day, like, you know, they were knocking stuff down, and my guy was, you know, Greg, my second in command, was sending me pictures. This is actually happening. And it was like a little surreal. And then like I go to work 2 days later, like, because I'm working from home and I'm offsite doing other things. And I go into the office and I'm like, where's the concrete? What happened to the, you know, it's all dirt. And I'm like, oh, Lord. So, yeah, it's happening. It's happening. We're building a new building, y'all. And, you know, in 14 to 16 months is what they're telling us. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's quick.
Yeah. I guess you can throw up buildings really quickly nowadays. But, you know, don't be worried. Don't be worried.
It isn't like, it isn't like the old days when we have to do it boulder at a time. Wait, we're not that
well
old.
You know, it's like, you know, back in the old days, people, like, you remember, like, you know, your grandpa was out there putting bricks down.
Yeah,
you know, like 4 hours ago to buy, and there'd be 90 bricks in place.
You know? Right now they got factories that do that.
Yeah,
they just
yes,
put a wall of bricks.
Like, and we have a really amazing construction crew. And you know, one of the things we are going to do, I mean, I'll say it and announce it here so that everybody knows, Share it with your relatives, which is like, we're going to be a good portion, you know, a fair amount of those positions in the construction project will be recruiting people from the community, like around the community, to give them, you know, good, stable jobs that, you know, and possibly a pathway into the, union and carpentry union and construction unions. And those things will hopefully also bear fruit and help families kind of get, you know, their foot in the door in good construction positions and companies that are, we have strong, reputable companies that we're working with. And so that was always a big part of our project, was that we're going to do that. And so we're working now with a couple of partners to create a job fair to sort of recruit from the community. And we'll be posting information about that on our socials and also our website. So watch for that. And of course, I'll mention it here as well. That's a really exciting part of that. And you've been to NAC, so you knew about our medicine garden. We had the wolf sculpture in the medicine garden where we grew the sage.
Mm-hmm.
And it had that beautiful Dakotan Ojibwe floral design on it that was designed by my niece Nichez, a Kimi artist. It was hard for me to see them take that down. I was surprised.
Yeah. How
emotional I'd feel about that, like watching them dismantle and take it apart. She's one of our artists that we put out an RFQ for artists to support us and be part of our the integration of Indigenous art and imagery throughout the entire clinic and the outside of the clinic as well, in the new building and in the medicine garden. And she was one of the selected artists that she submitted a proposal. So, you know, we'll have some of her art back again in the new building. So I'm feeling good about that. But it's exciting. It's like, you know, there's a lot to do with that project still. Still need to raise, probably $10 million.
Wow. Okay.
Well, it turns out that, you know, there's this fool in the White House that's messing around with tariffs and stuff like that, that's causing like a lot of changes and ripples in the cost of things, you know, goods and services and all those things. And that, of course, isn't helping, and inflation isn't helping, but also just, you know, so some of that cost has gone up a little bit. We're also, you know, I'm of the persuasion that I don't know about everybody else. There's probably other people that do this all the time, build stuff all the time. I'm certainly not doing that. I'm going to build one clinic and that's it. I'm done. I'm pretty sure I'm done after this.
I don't blame you.
So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to cut corners on like anything that relates specifically to our cultural, that anything that supports our cultural life ways, anything that supports. And we put a lot of thought into that piece of work. We are, when we say we are unapologetically Indigenous and we are centering culture at the, at the heart of what we do in our clinic and in the work we do, both within the clinic and outside in the community, we mean it. We're putting a lot of effort into making sure that that space, when you walk into it, feels like you are home. You feel like you're walking into a space that is quite ceremonial and it's quite, quite spiritual. So like we are centering spiritual care and well-being, without sparing any real cost to that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm excited to hear. And I know from my work that we're building another gaming place in Beloit, Wisconsin, is that we are definitely going to native preference when it comes to hiring. So that's something I don't think about, but that's really huge what you're doing there.
Well, I think it's really important. Like this project really has been, from the very beginning, has been the perspective of like, you know, we're going to do everything we can to uplift our community and uplift the people who are our relatives in the community. Everything from like, it's not just, you know, well-being isn't just about giving you access to a doctor and medicines and some vaccines and a few other things. well-being is about also creating opportunities for you to find stability, sense of hope, the idea that you might be able to sort of remake your life and start over. For many of our relatives, those are things that they need. And also being really, really intentional about like how we see and how we imagine. And we're not just making this up. We talk to community. We spent time talking to, we have an elders advisory board. We have a number of people we talk to throughout the community and around the community about like, how do they want to see traditional healing and cultural healing services in that space? What do they want to see? And, with intention, with great intention, I didn't make a clinic that was Dr. Stately's, clinic. It's not my clinic. It's, my responsibility as a servant of the community to ask people like how you want to receive your care. How do you want to receive your health and well-being and the access to those things, and then listen to them and share that information, and then work with people to imagine how to create that and to create it in a good way with good hearts and good intentions. And that's what we're doing. So important.
And we talk about how we indigenize things in the workplace, in our community, and now in the clinic. And I just have nothing but like positive feelings about that. I know you have to get going here soon. I just wanted to wish you on June 2nd, 1924, the Indian Citizenship Act was passed. Mm-hmm. And we've been citizens here now. And what's interesting too, being 64 years, it's only been, 36 years when I was born that, we are citizens of our own land here.
Yeah, that's shocking and confusing. And it's also like, even after we became citizens, we didn't have the right to vote. I mean, that came
exactly.
Out here. And so I think one of the things I want to encourage everyone that listens to us and everyone that sort of like, and throughout Indian country is to get out and vote. I know it's, there's all kinds of challenges. Certainly the Republican Party and more conservative, especially the uber conservative folks are not making it easier for us to do that, specifically people in rural areas. But it's really, really important that we find a way to do it because our vote does matter. Like, we've seen it over the last couple of years here in Minnesota, like how Native people swung the vote and got, we got a lot of people elected to the state legislature over the last few years, Indigenous people, probably more than a lot of other kind of states have. And so I think one of the things it's important to know is that we need to do that. Our ancestors gave up a lot and fought a lot for the privilege and the right to be able to do those things. We have a responsibility to do that as well. And, it's never been more critical than now, ever.
Well, Dr. Stately, I know you're busy with family, work, and all the great things that you do. I really, really appreciate you being on, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. Next week when I come back, I'll be a dad of graduates.
That's great. That's exciting. All right. Thank you, Dr. Stately. Have a great night. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back. Wendy and I will be talking about our sacred animals. Ho-ho-ha.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Carnegie, Wendy, how's it going?
Yes, hi. Well, in this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunt.
No.
Woo!
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And we've been talking about our sacred animals for over 9 years on Native Roots Radio, and I learned so much. And, well, introduce yourself, Wendy.
Yes. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I just need to clear my voice. Hold on a second. Yeah, back. Sorry about that. So I always notice, sorry, Wanda was on my lap and it was an emergency that she got down. So I don't know why, but anyway. Those black boxes that you find around buildings and around houses. And these black boxes are put there to get rid of rodents. So the rodents go in there. Sometimes they die inside there. But most of the time they eat whatever food is in there, and which is usually an anticoagulant, which thins the blood. And that's how the animal dies. but anyway, we find them around all the time. It kind of drives me a little crazy because we have a lot of raptor birds here in this area because we're very close to the Mississippi River. So we have, you know, the hawks and bald eagles. And then they're able to catch these rodents that ate the poison. And then, in fact, they get poisoned as well.
I'm going to let you clear your throat for a second and talk.
Thanks. Sorry about
that. Hey, Wendy, so... One of the things that you just mentioned there really quickly is, yeah, you do see those black boxes around, and then, you know, it's the circle of life when it comes to being poisoned, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the raptor birds. It's, you know, foxes, coyotes, you know, other animals as well. But I'm Facebook friends with this sanctuary, and it's called Sunrise Sanctuary, and they're located in Merivale, Ohio. And they show a picture of their property, and there's white boxes all around their property. So I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. Let me look and see what this is. So this is what they posted on their Facebook page, Sunrise Sanctuary, and this was just 3 days ago. If you've visited Sunrise this year, you may have noticed some little white boxes positioned throughout the property. These are contraptopest. It's called contraptopest stations. With so many different species that we care for at Sunrise, we have a lot of different types of food. And while we work hard to keep food sealed out of reach of wildlife, they still come. We love all animals at Sunrise, including rats. But rats are also non-native, which means they don't have a natural balance in the ecosystem.
Oh, wow.
Their population can become unhealthy because of this. We set up feeding stations with a product that reduces the number of babies they will have through contraception.
Wow.
Yeah, so it works on both the males and the females. This way rats and mice are not harmed by the population remain and the population remains under control. So they're giving them the rats birth control.
Are these rats from England then, in New York?
Oh my gosh. It's amazing, right? So I wonder then if the mice, male and female, get the contraception and they get caught by an eagle, would the contraception go into the eagle's body?
Oh, I don't know. But I still want you to answer that. Are rats from England or New York?
Oh, I have no idea where they originate. They must. From. Hey, you know what? We have a little chat GTP here. Let's ask. Where did rats originate from?
You know, because England, they had the big rat infestation.
Rats originated in Asia, specifically the regions of China and Southeast Asia.
So I wonder, during trade, they must have been brought to England because they had
the Black Plague from rats.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we have a whole bunch of rats in the New York subways that are big as people.
Well, they said here the rats from Asia, and then they spread around the world largely due to human activity, particularly through trade and travel. Yeah, so that's exactly what you said.
Okay, well, I was just wondering.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Because I thought they were from here. That's until you read that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how we love our birds, all our birds outside. I have bird feeders and, you know. Bird baths and all kinds of stuff. But here's the thing I just read. Excuse me, my voice is really bad today. Okay, specialized proteins called cryptochromes in birds' eyes form quantum entanglement electron pairs when exposed to sunlight. These entangled electrons react differently based on the orientation of the Earth's magnetic field, giving birds a visual representation of a magnetic pattern. This mind-bending mechanism allows precise navigation across continents without the need for visual landmarks. Quantum biology is still a developing field, but the fact that tiny birds naturally exploit quantum physics to migrate thousands of miles is one of science's most astounding recent discoveries. So they say a migratory bird like robins may literally see Earth's magnetic field through quantum entanglement processes within their eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that was a lot of science right there.
A lot of words, too.
It was a lot for my mouth and tongue to comprehend there. That's for sure.
Yeah, me too.
I know. That's
That's crazy. So that makes sense. A lot of things that the birds come north, south, and I'm sure hummingbirds too have some sort of mechanism like that.
Yeah, it is. It's really amazing. But, you know, we see those crows that come to our backyard all the time. So, you know, it's funny. We see all these animals and they all look alike. You know, every single crow looks alike, every squirrel and every chipmunk and whatever. So we have a couple of individuals, though, like we recognize, like we have a crow that has a limp.
Yeah.
Right.
And a chipmunk.
We have a chipmunk that has half a tail.
Yeah.
And then we have a female duck. She has a limp.
Aww.
So we know like the same birds and chipmunks and squirrels and bunnies come to our backyard. So all the rest also that look all alike to us are also individuals. That's all I wanted to say about that.
That was good. I was tracking there. But yeah, I imagine people can really notice. It's really hard for me with squirrels, other than their size.
Yeah, exactly. Squirrels are really hard.
Or color.
Yeah, and crows are really hard, too. And the only one we know is the one with the limp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all the chipmunks look exactly alike.
Except
for the one that has a little. Now, we don't know if his tail was chopped off by an accident or if maybe he was born that way.
Like,
we'll never know about the little chipmunk's tail. But yeah, I like to see them because it's like, oh, it's you again.
Definitely. So everyone be careful what they, you know, put out there for poison. Don't put a poison out there.
Yeah.
Because the ecosystem gets really messed up and we know.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, will be here. And board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Federal authorities have charged with a hate crime Mohammed Soliman of Egypt. They say he threw Molotov cocktails into a crowd in Boulder, Colorado, and then used a makeshift flamethrower, injuring 12 people. Jonathan Greenblatt with the Anti-Defamation League.
We haven't had a month, the Jewish community, a moment of respite since October the 7th. It's been intense, and the anxiety is expanding because the threats are real.
New Jersey's troubled Newark Liberty Airport is less challenged, according to Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.
Today we're celebrating the opening of Newark's runway. And this is a 60-day project that actually is completed 13 days early.
Following the arrest of an 18-year-old in Massachusetts during an operation by ICE agents over the weekend, Democratic Governor Maura Healey insists,
unless ICE has additional information that would substantiate that this individual had some criminal involvement, he should be released.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.